Podcasting 2.0 for January 27th, 2023, episode 119, Bowl of Noodles. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, where we protect and extend podcasting. We got all the latest news for you. Everything happening around podcasting itself, of course, with our own unsalted opinion. We've got the latest from podcastindex.org, the namespace, and anything else happening on podcastindex.social, where it all goes down. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, running a fever, but the show must go on. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Oh,
hello!
Barely made it back.
Hello, you said pull the cord.
I did, and then I pulled the cord and ran to get my lozenges.
Ah, your lozenges. How you doing, brother? You're not feeling
whole
too
box
hot.
Of lozenges. No, I feel like garbage. It's not that bad. It's all up in my throat. My throat's killing me. But
well, when you're a podcaster, sleep. That's kind of bad. It's not a good thing.
It is bad. I'm just not getting much sleep. I wake up, I go to sleep, and I'm not too bad. Mm-hmm. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning,
I know.
I wake up,
yeah,
and I think my mouth comes open. I start breathing through my mouth at night.
Oh,
and while I'm asleep, and then that dry air just dries out my already kind of ragged throat. And I wake up and my throat's just like on fire, you know?
Yeah.
And then I just can't. And then I have to start hitting Tylenol and trying to get it all under control. And then before you know it, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm trying to fall asleep again.
Well, I know this is happening because I'm getting DMs from you around 3:25 a.m. Funny thing is, I'm replying at 4.
No. I texted you like 2:30. And then it's like, I woke up this morning and it was like, you replied at like 3:30. Like, what are you doing up?
I woke up, you know, I was like, I
didn't wake you up with a ding, did I? Okay.
Nah, I'm still suffering from the opioid poisoning, to be honest.
Opioid? Oh, the fentanyl.
Yeah, not the fentanyl, but the hydrocodone. It's really messed up my insides and I'm off, you know, I'm just off. I'm hungry, constipated, and bloated all at the same time. I'm like a woman. Sorry, I was really bad.
No, that is bad. That's a terrible thing.
Pretty much the worst thing I could have said. Yeah, but, you know, I have heard from women I have lived with, including my mom, my sisters, and my wife. You know, this is like, if I complain about this here at home, it's like, oh, really?
Having a baby.
Well, that's always the death throw at the end. Like, shut up, try having a kid. Okay.
Right. How many hours were you in labor, Adam?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to make it, though. I'm going to make it.
Okay, I'm glad you can make the show. I mean, you can barely hear it. I know you, so I can hear it a little bit, but you're hanging in there, brother. You're hanging in.
I'm a tax professional. I mean, a podcast professional.
Well, have you been to the office? No, you're staying at home, right?
No, I'm in the office every day.
No, you're kidding me.
Yes.
Going to the office with your seething, infected airways?
Real men go to the office.
There you go. That would be the ISO if we did one. I'm going to mark that. I'm going to mark that just in case. I don't know why. I think I might need that.
They, strike. Did you see strike's big news today?
I did. I thought this was already happening. They're integrating with Clover, which, how big is Clover? They're a point of sale merchant network, I believe, right?
Yes, they're like the Square point of sale terminal type deal. Mm-hmm. I think they're a competitor in that whole market. Yeah, but I mean, like this, it's a big deal. The Clover stuff is all, they're in a lot of restaurants and stuff.
Oh, this, good.
Yeah, this could be a big deal. And they made it, I guess the best thing is it's not a strike. They just evidently built the pathways for it in the back end because you don't have to use Strike to pay.
Right.
You can use any Lightning or even your own note.
That's the best part. I like that a lot.
Yeah. I'm itching to try it now. I hope there's somebody local to me that I can like give this a shot because that would be like super cool.
So they do full service dining. Hold on a
one second. Let me go back here. I hadn't actually looked at this. Full service dining, quick service dining, retail stores, personal service, professional services, home and field services. Doesn't wonder how big they are. Just how, I don't know how many they have. Doesn't matter. It's fantastic. It's a 3-month trial, from what I understand. And if everything goes well, they'll make it permanent, which is cool.
I mean, it sounded like maybe I misunderstood the way they were wording the whole thing, but it sounded like they were going to do it regardless. They just wanted some preliminary data about how many, you know, like how much traffic they were going to get, maybe for back, like infrastructure sizing or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they would know what channels to get. And so it's like at launch.
Because traditionally I think Strike, this is a Jack Mahler's company. They were using more than just Lightning, right? They were using other stable coins and
weren't they using Tether?
Something like that. Yeah.
Or USDC maybe.
I tried to explain some of this to Joe Rogan. I was on his show earlier this week.
Is there anything you want to talk about with that?
Well,
of course, by design, I do not listen to anything with you during the week leading up to the show. I don't want to be spoiled. So this is all, I've listened to nothing that you, I've not listened to Joe Rogan's show.
Well, we talked about my teeth, of course, you know, I was just getting, just buttering him up, letting him know how horrible my experience was, but you know, just so he could go, oh man, oh, that's horrible. I can't believe it. Yeah, Joe, I'm a real man.
You're fishing for the, oh man, they look great.
Oh no, I didn't fish. I said, don't they look great?
You just went straight for it.
Right, of course, right for it.
Joe, look at my teeth. Aren't they beautiful?
I was really trying to just we had a great conversation, 3.5 hours. And it wasn't like any one topic. We hit on so many different things. I got to do a lot of, he brought up Bitcoin, FTX. And, you know, I think I made a lot of the Bitcoin bros very happy by saying, oh no, all that other stuff is just a shit coin. It's got to go to zero. I was pretty brazen. But I did get some real good points in there.
Sound like Todd at Podfest.
Well, every time I wanted to, I haven't been able to listen to Todd, but I will talk about him later for sure.
No, he said from the podium during his like talk, he said that something about value is Bitcoin, not shitcoin.
Nice.
He got a bunch of applause. And I was like, well, you are in Florida. I mean, you know.
Well, that's exactly what, it's very interesting because I learned something. Now, I talked about a lot. I mean, this is such a huge show. I mean, it's got to be one of the biggest audiences of any, certainly in the United States, but probably the world. It's, I mean, what does he have, 10, 11 million?
It's
big.
I was about to ask you how many, what's the estimate?
I think 10, at least.
Wow.
It's big. So anything you do, you get people commenting. So I talked about beef and, you know, beef initiative and like, you know, just, I mean, what I do is the same we do here. What I do on every show, just talk about whatever's going on in my life, you know? So, hey, I had the meat mafia guys over, you know, bought a third of a cow, paid with Bitcoin, you know, all these kind of things. I would try to bring up podcasting 2.0. I'd say it from time to time. Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing with podcasting 2.0. And Joe would go boom into another direction. So he was not interested in hearing about it. But what was kind of cool, and about that, now, I learned something about Twitter.
From Joe?
No, not from Joe, because, you know, there's so many comments. I've gotten, you know, 2,000 more followers. The whole thing blows up. And right. So Tina's, you know, she's really good at this stuff. She's looking at stuff. She's reading stuff to me like, oh, look at this, this comment. I'm like, where is that? And as it turns out, you do not get all your mentions on your timeline. At all. You have to go and do a search for your name to see everything. I did not know. Ooh. So yeah, they are, we'll call it shadow banning or whatever. And I'm not quite sure what the algo is, because Tina was doing this as well. And she would have different things that would show on her timeline versus mine. And so only when we both do a search for my name, can you really see everything that comes through. And I'd say it's a good 20% that doesn't show up on your mentions timeline, which I found to be a lot. And I didn't know, I can't really find a...
I'm actually seeing this now on ours. I just searched for @podcastindex.org Yeah, and I'm seeing a whole bunch of stuff I haven't seen before.
Exactly. And I don't, it doesn't seem to be related to number of followers. I just don't know. Maybe people have a flag or it was a little jarring because I had no idea that that was taking place. I figured, sure, some people, I may not show up on my regular timeline, but if you're tagging me at Adam Curry, you think it would show up. Yeah. So that was a little, and we talked about Elon and about what I think he's doing, what he's actually publicly said that he wants Twitter to be your wallet. You know, the WeChat and everything is so I got, some Elon haters, or haters on me because I love Elon. But at a certain point we were talking about podcasting and Joe says, it's really hard to break into podcasts. So many of them. I said, well, that number is a little disputed. He said, what do you mean? I said, so I don't want to disparage anyone you might have a relationship with, a business relationship. He says, I don't give a shit. I have no relationship to numbers. So, okay, well, Anchor, which Spotify bought, has created a bunch of shit, and they put that into Spotify, and they claim they got over 5 million podcasts, and we sift through that stuff, and it turns out there's at least a million and a half that can just be disregarded.
Yeah.
And I was kind of proud that we got that out there. Mm-hmm. we got that message out. It was kind of cool that way.
Well, the latest happenings at Spotify.
Yeah, there's quite a lot going on.
Yeah, that just reiterates that Anchor has to be, they have to be a goner.
Well, there's a lot more going on. I mean, the whole industry has problems, and let's just get through it right now because I did make some notes about this, and I want to make it clear that people who say, James, that this is the stock market
the stock market is doing this,
I need to set you straight.
I have that on my notes. I have James stock market as a talking point. Yeah,
the stock market is not like some ominous thing that controls the company. No, the stock market is people who own pieces of these companies. And the more pieces you own, the more, you can get on the board, the more influence you can have. Once you take your company public, then you live or die by your investors, which are now many more. And they can punish you in different ways by selling your stock, which really hurts the company. And the main way that hurts the company is people who are given options as part of their compensation package. And I took my company public, ran it. I know all the things that go on, all the tips and tricks, even how the stock prices are manipulated and what it does to a culture inside a company when the stock price drops. Now, this is across the board, I might add, that, all stocks, everything has dropped to 60-70% over the past year or so. But there's something else that needs to be understood about Spotify. Spotify did not have a traditional IPO. They didn't go public with an underwriter. They were one of the outside of Google, but they did this as well. They did a Dutch auction where you just appear, you go public, but without an underwriter. And what that does, it enables everybody who invested early. And when I say invested, a lot of people, they raised $1 billion here. They raised $400 million there. Everybody who had stock got out immediately at the opening price. That is typically when you go public. If you're an insider and you hold stock, you have to hold on for a lockup period, which could be 3 months, 6 months, et cetera.
But if you don't IPO, you don't have to do that.
If you don't
have those contracts in place.
Yeah, it's called a direct listing. And so also not having an underwriter means it doesn't cost 5% of the money you raise. So they didn't really raise anything with going public. All they did was making their investors, record companies, making those investors very rich right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And they have zero power over their inventory. They do not control the pricing of the music licensing. So when you have no control over your cost of goods, you're always going to be a slave to the people who deliver the goods, which are the labels and the publishers. Subsequently, they also, I think, pay the lowest amount of royalty to artists, which is, it's kind of a new category, not artists. If you weren't a writer or musician or composer, you, or I would say writer composer, you wouldn't get anything. other than the deal you made with the publisher, or, i.e. your record company. So, you know, let's just remind each other or everybody that this is why Spotify went into podcasting, because they thought, oh, this is a popular thing. It's audio. We can easily combine that. We can grab all the content, which they did liberally, which is fine. I mean, I don't mind a podcast app having my podcast, but not if there's stipulations they can do whatever they want with it. No, I'll take that back. And I actually had to get messy with them. So I'm going to sue you if you don't take this shit off. I never signed anything. I don't want it.
Right.
For all my shows. They were thinking they could control the price. And Sam Sethi had a great analogy. He said, this is kind of like, Dawn Ostroff, who apparently was making $9 million a year. She's the one that set up the initial big content deals with the Obamas, with Kim Kardashian, with Joe Rogan. That's a total Hollywood play. It's a Hollywood player, and it's completely analogous to Terry Semel, who came in to turn Yahoo from a directory listing, in essence, to a media company. You know, Yahoo had Yahoo Mail. They had, I think Yahoo Financial is still pretty popular. But
Yahoo Sports.
Yeah, sport. But they fizzled out. I mean, it never became the Hollywood powerhouse that it was supposed to be. And there was more than Terry Semel. There were a couple of... Marissa Meyer from Google. Meyer,
yeah.
She went in there for $100 million and went, oh, I'll take care. So it's very hard to do these things if you have a Hollywood mindset or a Hollywood approach. I put a number of articles into the... first of all, this going direct and not with an initial public offering means you have no underwriter. So there is literally no one to support your stock. So, an underwriter's job, part of the fee that they get is if the price starts to go down, which makes that could result in a lot of people selling and, all kinds of nasty stuff. It is their job to prop that up by buying stock. If people are saying they'll buy and they'll hold. I mean,
They buffer it.
Best they can. But they also help you do secondary raises and, you need money. And as we know, Spotify has really not turned a profit. And now they're being punished for it, as are all these companies. And the main reason is, in order to get money, it's just more expensive. We discussed this several times. Their gross margins are not there. I mean, it's not a good business.
My understanding of Spotify's contracts and everything are that they are structured so that the more revenue and the more premium, the more listeners and the more revenue they make, their payouts to the record company, to the major record labels go up commensurate with that. So it doesn't make, they're not, they can't escape their current profit margin. If they're at 25%, they'll never get above that.
Correct.
It's just always, it always goes up in lockstep with whatever they do. And so their only escape hatch was to make more money through podcast advertising, because this, just getting more premium subscribers through podcasts doesn't help you with your main expense, which is record labels. Because the more subscribers you have, the higher your fees go to the record label. So you have to make up the difference. You have to increase your profit margin. There's only one way, and that's through increased advertising rates. And they can't, they just seem unable, on podcasts, I mean. So they seem unable to make that happen.
Well, there's a second issue is they are pretty much locked into their subscription price, because there's so much competition. Yeah. People will jump because really they need to raise that by a dollar at least, probably more, just for inflation alone.
And instantly you'd have millions of people bail to Apple Music or something like
that. Sure, or whatever. Amazon, yeah. Or whatever. They also treat the artists like shit, historically. The record companies, they can just, screw it, I'll just take it off. Taylor Swift made them pay. They have no power. And let's just be honest, the podcast industrial complex there's just not enough money in it. And now we have the perfect storm where advertising is going down. But I realize, as Joe and I were talking that TikTok, which, and it is my opinion that TikTok is under attack right now, not because they're an American company. They use Chinese technology, and I'm sure that there's all kinds of stuff being tracked, and I'm sure their algos are unhealthy. Yeah, like Instagram isn't unhealthy, Facebook doesn't have unhealthy algorithms. But TikTok has been eating their advertising lunch. And TikTok also has a blanket license.
Phoebe.
Has a blanket license. They are now a music app as well. And Sony has a direct relationship. Sony Music has a direct relationship with them.
Does Sony Music own any of TikTok?
I don't think they own any
directly.
Of it. But they have a partnership, which means they're making a lot of if you look at the music industry, it is TikTok right now. It's not Spotify. It's not Apple Music. It's not Facebook. Even though all of those players have licenses for streaming and for streaming music, every artist, and I know some, but I've heard them all say, I got to be on TikTok. Even Hollywood, movies, you got to be on TikTok. So all the licensing and everything is going to TikTok. And that is where a lot of the advertising is going, including podcast advertising, because that's where the people are. And there was someone sent me a really interesting metric. Do you know why we can know that TikTok is crushing it versus everybody else? And mind you, discuss this with Joe as well. TikTok is also devaluing Google search because people go to TikTok to search for stuff. What's a great restaurant in Austin? And you'll see, and instead of getting a list of links, which are ads, and you have to go to page 3 to get some real opinions, you get whatever TikTok spits out, but it's, hey, look at this great restaurant. Everyone's so creative. Here we are. That's how people search for stuff these days. It's no longer, and ChatGPT is kind of an outgrowth of that problem. But the way you can know that TikTok is crushing it is by looking at the layoffs they've done. Oh, I'm sorry.
None
that I can find. I'm sure at some point, but even I found a link here. This is from December last year. So just about 2 months ago. Hold on, where is it? That's a different one. As Meta, and this is from CNN. Very trustworthy, by the way. As Meta and Twitter slash staff, TikTok plans to keep hiring. So that kind of gives credence to the idea that the advertising, and look, I'm sure there are lots of brands that want to advertise on podcasts, but if you want your product to work, to get your product out there in front of people, TikTok is the place to be. And you can just ask anybody in the advertising industry.
This is interesting. That's a really good
metric
point that you can. Yeah, that's a good metric because there's. I haven't heard anything about problems at TikTok. No financial problems whatsoever.
Nope.
There doesn't mean there's not any, but there. You would think with the hatred of TikTok right now, if there was some, would be news everywhere.
And so my thesis is, since it's Meta and Google and whoever else, Google spends hundreds of millions of dollars on lobbying politicians.
Yes.
So it's not unthinkable that that politicians go, oh yeah, it's China. Gotta get rid of China. The programming people. I mean, okay. Sure.
I've got to clarify what I said because I got a long email from Ryan Heiss this past week.
Why do I know this name? Tell me, Ryan. Ryan Heiss.
Yeah, Ryan. He's done a lot of transcript work and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
So, Ryan, good, great developer, good guy. He sent me this long email about.
He got let go from Spotify.
No.
That's a different guy.
No, that's Nathan.
Oh, that's Nathan, right.
Yeah. So, Ryan got sent me a long email about how. Saying that I had misunderstood Google's AI stuff and how Google had They had a bunch of great AI in the mix and all that kind of stuff. I understand how you could have taken it that way. That is not my point. My point was not, and last week talking about that, was not that Google did not have good AI juice.
No, it's that, UX the, juice.
Yes, it's got nothing to do with their AI. I'm sure they've got top-notch AI.
Yeah.
They cannot, what their problem is that they're still, their main product, their cash cow, the google.com I'm feeling lucky search page is inadequate. It does not function right for today. It's being left behind. Yeah. They're not. And honestly, there's outside of like IT and more technical people, I don't see a lot of people using the Google search anyway, like going to google.com and doing a search.
I mean, I've been using Neva, which is a paid search engine run by former Google search guys, and it costs $5 a month. And they just added a ChatGPT like interface. I said, oh, you want that? Okay. And so, but they show, oh, here's the four or five sources this answer came from. And it spits out an answer in English. And it's like, oh, wow, that's really exciting. I mean, it's just links, but they connected it with words. And you know, yeah, they've got reasonable AI. They're just quicker to implement it. But it's all a UX thing. It's not necessarily the technology behind it. I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah, search is going to be. Search is going to become a commodity. Like, I'm having a hard time thinking of an example. I mean, you know,
well, like, the same way TikTok is search now. It's you can,
yes,
you can push it all you want, but if people are using TikTok to search, you can jump up and down and say you're not searching right, but that's not going to stop people from using it.
You end up going to Google for searching things like, you know, some topic that's for a book report, or you're trying to find, you know, my iPhone, how to reboot iPhone, which button combination thing. I mean, things like that. And then you find the first page of links is mostly crap and irrelevant. And it's just, I don't know. It's just it's pushing Google's crap search is now pushing everybody in. It's pushing everybody into other areas of search, and they're if they don't change that, they're screwed. I mean, they're because they don't have another cat. They don't have another money cow in the mix. What you were talking about, TikTok. I sort of went down a little bit of a rabbit hole with.
Yeah, now you're talking
with David Cohen from the IAB. He's evidently CEO of the IAB, and they just had their like.
Now, IAB is an Interactive Advertising Bureau, I think is what it stands for.
Yes, that's right, yeah. And they do the podcast, you know, download.
Oh, the download. Oh, good. I have a clip that'll fit with this, I'm sure of it. Okay.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The IAB Tech Lab. Yes, oh, yeah, is what does, yeah. So they're the ones that drop their fees from like $50,000 to $12,000.
For certifying every hosting company search or metrics as approved.
Yes.
Which
yes,
is very complicated. Compliant. Yes. Right. Very complicated. And which, of course, is being crushed in a way by Spurlock's OP3.
OP3, yeah.
It's that's completely right. Crushing it. So what you get when you got a guy who can afford a server?
You can you can crank it up with David Coe and IAB staring down the barrel. And I think we can talk like a little bit about clearly what the feelings are at the IAB.
Several areas of focus for ALM. I think you mentioned before privacy and addressability.
What's ALM? Do we know what ALM is?
That is the name of their marketing conference. It's the advertising
lying marketers
land machines.
Sorry. I don't know.
Several areas of focus for ALM. I think you mentioned before privacy and addressability is clearly one of them that we're facing down the barrel of five state laws coming into effect in 2023. National privacy reform made some progress this year, but we're probably going to take that up again in the next Congress. The future of kind of the streaming world, both audio and video, we call that kind of flexibility and fluidity, blurring the lines between awareness and demand. Mm. You know, historically, we've thought about, you know, lead generation focused activities and brand focused. We think that there's a a blurring of the lines. So there'll be a track focused on that. We're going to talk about trust and transparency and humanity in the digital ecosystem. We're going to talk about recalibrating measurement and attribution. So streaming is clearly an area. We're also going to be talking about kind of where is this industry going? You know, where does Web3, where do NFTs, where does the metaverse, where does AR and VR fit in? And how can we give some practical and pragmatic suggestions for where marketers should be putting their money? So there's no doubt, as you said, streaming is a key part of that, but one of many things that we're going to be talking about.
So what do you think when you hear just that? This is there was no recording by design. They did not let, they did not stream or record their conference this year. To my knowledge, for the first time, they did not make it available for streaming. It was in person only.
Mm-hmm.
And he even says, but I got a transcript of his keynote speech when he opened it.
Oh, that's what I see. Of course, people should know that when Dave sends me stuff, I don't listen. I don't look if it's a picture, and I did not look, but I see Cohen IAB speech.txt. Okay, what's in there?
Yes.
Yeah. Can we publish this? That's probably illegal.
Well, somebody put it on a Google Doc. There's a link to we can just link to the Google Doc.
Yeah. I want to be careful.
We just link to the Google Doc. But anyway, he said, I think it was requested. I think somebody requested it and the IAB sent them the text of the speech. So okay. I think that's what that Google Doc is.
The word podcast does not show up in the transcript.
No, it does not. And I can tell you why. And just, I think you understand from, or at least I think you may agree with me from listening to that, to his preview of what they were going to be talking about there. I think they're terrified of regulation and they have no idea what to do. Those are my two takeaways.
And regulation are they terrified of?
This speech was very, very interesting. He says, I'm going to talk about three big things this year. And if you remember nothing else, I want you these to be your major takeaways. And so takeaway one, extremists are winning the battle for hearts and minds in Washington, D.C. and beyond. We cannot let that happen.
Oh, screw Republicans is what he just said.
No. He's calling them. He's calling everybody out. He says, if you ask Asad Ramzanali, former legislative assistant to Democratic California Representative Anna Eshoo and current chief of staff for the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, digital ads are, quote, a means for misinformation and insightful speech to proliferate and hurt people, unquote.
And then he goes on to. Oh, okay.
He throws Amy Klobuchar under the bus, Ted Cruz. He's throwing everybody under the bus. But the guy, he goes over here and he also calls out accountable tech. He says, just look at the venomous accusations leveled at us by Accountable Tech, one of the more virulent anti-advertising groups trying to shut down the ad-supported internet.
Yeah.
They say digital advertising has a toxic business model that exists to, quote, exploit users and businesses at tremendous societal cost. Accountable Tech is no organic grassroots effort led by concerned citizens. It's an arm of a for-profit multi-billion-dollar Washington lobbying group named Arabella Advisors, a group The Atlantic calls, quote, the mothership of progressive dark money. And so literally half of this speech, if not more, is about the dangers of legislation that's going to curtail digital ad tracking.
Well, not just that. I would argue that and we've said from day one, just so everyone realizes, podcastindex.org was set up to thwart any Silicon Valley company that thought that they could own the index to podcasting and take stuff out whenever they felt like it. The second part of what we did is the value for value streaming payments and the booster. Well, the boostergrams actually grew out of it. That was, you know, that was part of the beauty of the project. But we've always said, advertising is censorship, and what you see continuously with different. So there's also legislation in there, not just for tracking, but for hate speech and for all other variations of speech suppression. That I think that, you know, it's used as a wedge by groups all over the spectrum to shut people up or shut down platforms by removing their taking away their lifeblood, which is advertising. And the way you do that is say, that guy's a racist, you know, and and in fact, I'll just interrupt for 48 seconds to prove my point. This is from the World Economic Forum, Richard Edelman. Edelman Worldwide is a huge marketing PR firm. And here's what he had to say. He's the CEO.
So I think the first thing that, because I mostly work with business, that business needs to do is deprive platforms that spread disinformation of oxygen. Stop advertising. Pull your promotion money. Make sure that they understand that they have a consequential impact on society. And the boycott of Twitter for several months has had a modest impact. But I think the Facebook one failed. And but the necessity of getting it right in the platforms that are probably primary source information for a third to 40% of people is urgent.
So he's not bashful about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just for political means or whatever reason he has, we're just going to pull the advertising to force people into compliance.
Yeah, it's sleeping giants, but at the but at a like institutionalized now.
Oh yeah,
But the one thing that this guy hates more than anything is Apple. Man, this guy hates Apple.
Why?
I mean, wow.
Oh, because they turn off a whole bunch of tracking things.
Yeah, I mean, listen to this. We have to take on the extremists if we want to survive, but there are also quote enemies within, and that starts with Apple. After years of failing to build a significant market for ads in Apple Music, in Apple TV, and on the iPhone, Apple has decided the next best thing is to stop anyone else from making money in advertising. That's why they are the poison apple. Apple's app tracking transparency vaporized an estimated $9.8 billion of revenues for Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Snap, according to the Financial Times. What's more, IAB estimates that Apple single-handedly wiped out another $6.5 billion in revenues for publishers on the open web. Apple has dealt a cruel blow to the millions of companies created off the backbone of the open internet, including thousands of small businesses and millions of income earning creators.
That's rich. We can't track people anymore. Apple is evil.
Apple is anti-advertising in public, with sales of iPhones stagnating. Privately, Apple is pitching ads to everybody on Madison Avenue.
True.
Apple's aims to let them expand their advertising business while rewriting the rule book so the rest of the industry can't compete. Apple will try smothering the advertising industry just like they did to the recorded music industry. We can't sit back and watch that happen. I mean, he just goes on and on. I mean, like he's got another two paragraphs about Apple.
Yeah, well, Apple has a lot of power in this regard. And again, so now it's backfiring on them. I mean, none of this is surprising to me. And I think we've been very clear, certainly on this show, over and over again. This is why we set this up. This is not the way to go. There's one other thing I want to bring up when it comes to advertising. And this is something that I know about. I knowingly participated in it I left my own company because of it. Let me put it that way. And that is the scam that is advertising based upon views, downloads, streams, whatever you want to count. It's called arbitrage, and that it worked really well when there was lots of money. I'll just keep saying it. And interestingly, and I've avoided even paying much attention to this whole fracas with Steven Crowder and the Daily Wire and how much money they were going to make or not make. And it's all infighting. It's all incredibly boring and boorish.
Boring. It's boring.
But Steven Crowder reminded me of something that happens in companies, and he's going to say it's only what he calls Big Con, but it's across the board, all technology companies, all media technology companies, and that's the following.
That hurts creators. And the same thing, by the way, when we're talking about misleading practices with sponsors, there's no problem, right? And this is all publicly verifiable. I want you guys to be able to audit this so that there don't have to be as many receipts provided. You market your channel, right? I think we probably have some ads running right now, like Spotify, like, yeah, hey, if you like this show, tune in on Spotify. Yeah. But there's a big difference. We know that there's a huge problem in our industry of pay to play. Now, you can do that. That's fine if you want to grow your numbers. But
what is that? What is
so pay to play means that you can buy views, right? You can pay to play. You can run your video as a pre-roll ad and people see that number. But really, a lot of them are 14 second views, 8 second views, but it still clicks that counter. The closest apples to apples comparison that you could do right now is you could go out and take, like, let's say not this controversy because there's cross pollination.
OK, so I'm just going to cut it off there. It's the link.
I mean, the guy talks so fast.
So the idea is, you buy ads or clicks or streams or views or some bullshit in a game that results in a number of 1 to 10 seconds, whatever's legal, IAB, I think it is, you know, was it 1 second, 1 minute, whatever it is, it's not the full show. It's certainly not going to be all the ads. And that counts as a view, a download, a stream. I'm just generalizing. We all know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And you buy that interaction, which is not a real person. I mean, it may be a person, but not doing it because they're interested, listening, and will hear ads. You do that for $10 per thousand CPM, and you turn around and you sell the show to advertisers for $22 CPM. And that arbitrage is getting out of whack.
That is awesome.
It's really sad. It really, and it's funny because it's so ingrained. My friend over there at 100% Retro, which is the 24-hour streaming station, now he started off doing this expecting to do ads, and I just helped him bootstrap the streaming payments on top of it, and so he has investors. This is so typical. He has investors, and most of it's his own money, but he has a couple investors, and he needs to show how things are going. So. What he does, he goes to a, you know, these are legitimate firms, and you will spend 3,000 euros to show that you have X amount of people who are listening. And if you sold that, you would have made this much money. I mean, the whole thing is circular. Now, there is a fine line between advertising your station and getting people who maybe have an incentive to click on something or incentive to download something other than I'm interested in this programming. That to me is fraudulent. Mm-hmm. And it's everywhere, but now it's falling apart. And I think Spotify, without argument, there's a lot of shenanigans with streaming farms. You've seen them. People, whole wall full of cell phones that are just streaming the same song, you know, from different IP addresses, different user accounts. So the music has totally been skewed. And it's fake. I would argue that many firms, like maybe iHeart or Podcast One, or maybe Spotify themselves with some of their exclusives, are in fact engaging in this practice as well. And so it's a house of cards that once the cheap money dries up, which is now happening, is starting to collapse.
Well, and this goes back to the stock market issue. I mean, like, cause there's the stock market just responds to the economic climate of what is going on at the time. I mean, if you want to find a real devil here, the problem is the central bank. The problem is not the stock market. When the central banks drop rates to zero, you can't put your money in a savings account and earn and have it just sit there. You can't. It's fiduciary irresponsibility to do that. So you have to do something with that money. And that's where the growth at all costs mindset comes from, because you have to have an exit strategy. In the absence of 0% interest rates, markets work in a rational way. And so, like, that, you know,
They're not phony, which, you know, there's some shenanigans going on there,
excluding fraud, fraud, you know, pure fraud. But I mean, like, the real problem is the, you know, is what was the famous Greenspan pervert? Was it not perverse incentives, but irrational exuberance or whatever? Like, that's where all that stuff comes from. It comes from as a response to the central bank. And so then now the central bank has turned the screws, and companies don't know what to do now because they still can't park their money in liquid places, because those interest rates still have not risen. But the interest rates to get the arbitrage on the free money from the banking system has gone up. So basically there's no money to be had, but you can't put it anywhere safe. So they don't know what to do. All they know to do right now is just trim the fat, make cash flow as high as possible, which means getting rid of their people, and just hunker down and wait for the next shoe to drop. Like, I've been reading, the name of the book is The Technological Society by Jacques Ellul. Have you ever read that?
Yes, of course. It's what you want to read right after you read Industrial Society and Its Future.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So this book is dense. I don't know how many pages it is. Maybe 500 pages. I don't know if you know off the top of your head, but it's dense. So, I mean, it takes a little while to get through. But it's kind of blowing my mind over and over again. And he makes this point about technology. So he calls individual technologies. He refers to them as technique. Mm-hmm. And so he gives this example. He says, he's making the point that technique in any particular line of any particular technological pursuit, a technique in that strain is going to go naturally from through its most simple incarnation through to more and more complex. So he gives the example of nuclear power. Mm-hmm. He's like, he says, the atomic bomb was a necessary step on the road to something better, which would be, power generation through nuclear power plants or something like that, because the atomic bomb blowing shit up is the most simple use case. You split the atom and stuff blows up. So that's like step one. You know, it's like hello world of nuclear. It's the hello world of nuclear energy is blowing people up. So you have to go through that step first, yeah, in order to get to years down the road, you have things like nuclear power, which is way more complicated, because then you're talking about perpetual, containment of a nuclear force. So he's making that example. He's also in the middle of that saying, well, but you have to remember, technique and technology is amoral. It doesn't care about the morality of the thing it's doing.
Right.
Individual people may care, but that's sort of irrelevant, because the thing is going to go on its own course. And I feel like this is the same. You can make an analogy there to what's going on in the advertising and the digital advertising and the internet landscape as a whole. Is you had to go through that for the initial sort of raw, simplistic idea that we can put an ad on a website, somebody will click on it, and then you get paid. That's right. Sort of the that's the hello world of internet advertising. That's, that's blowing shit up. Mm-hmm. Well, then, people begin Apple, people, you start using VPNs, people start using ad blockers, legislation starts to get passed. These things begin to evolve because people don't want that in their life. They don't want tracking. They don't want giving up all this stuff. And so then these things have to evolve to take account for Apple's private relay and these other things that are going to make download tracking impossible and attribution impossible.
It's a rat race.
Well, you have to evolve. If you're the IAB, you have to evolve these things to take that account. And that's what me and Dan Benjamin tried to do by proposing a very simple thing that doesn't rely on IP address tracking to give them some ideas on how to start that discussion.
And they went, get out of my face, you little they didn't even technology do that. They man.
Just, yeah. And that, but that's like, but what they want, they've learned to love the bomb. They just want the bomb. Right. They don't want nuclear. They don't want a nuclear submarine. They just want. They're just like, why can't we just have warheads and blow shit up? Yep. That's what they want.
I hear you.
It's simple. It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
So there.
Well, it's.
But you know, you can drop this. This is a perfect time to drop the ISO. This stuff is just supposed to be fun.
This stuff's supposed to be fun.
It's not fun. It's not fun for a lot of people. Now, of course, there's real money, people making, you know, and I listen to Joe Rogan on Spotify. I'm getting, I mean, maybe it's great. I mean, I'm getting local sunglass company ads in Austin. I'm getting a lot of vitamin ads, supplement ads. I don't know if that's the big money. I don't know if those companies have big money. I truly believe in community of interest or community of geography based marketing. Let's just call it marketing. I 100% believe in the Bridesmaids magazine, where you make content and you get wedding venues and DJs and bands and whatever to advertise specifically for that content. No different than Fredericksburg, Texas has a couple of magazines. One, you know, is probably the winner over the other. And you write articles about people and about businesses and the wineries, and you charge them for that. You know, it's the whole thing is marketing. Vogue magazine is another outstanding example. You know, you go there for the ads. The ads are the content. So I have no problem with Bitcoin podcasts having Bitcoin wallet stuff or whatever. But the solution seems to be subscriptions, and that is so obviously limited. We're already seeing it in streaming television, streaming movies. We have Netflix competing with Disney, competing with Paramount, competing with Hulu, and at a certain point, you just can't have all these subscriptions. The same way, at a certain point, I just can't have all my favorite podcasts charging me $5 a month. It's just going to be too much. I love obviously the value for value model circumvents this to a degree. But we're going to run into the same problem with podcasting on subscriptions. And now, yeah. You know, we see that people are kind of realizing that, you know, Apple subscriptions really isn't a podcast. You know, Joe Rogan, I love my brother Joe Rogan, it's not a podcast. It's a Spotify show.
Yeah, and it's a show on the Spotify app.
Yeah, and I have to pay to watch it. And what Spotify is learning, and I think what they're all learning, is when something's exclusive, you better have people paying for it, because you really need the whole universe of playback, the whole universe of apps or places that can ingest and feedback an RSS feed. And it's just a business miscalculation. Spotify's case, I believe it was a 100% Hail Mary. What are we going to do? The record companies got us by the balls. Hey, look at all this free content. Yeah, we'll get Joe in here. Everyone will want to be on Joe's platform. That's pretty much what they did. And sadly, for a decade, a lot of the industry, before it became the podcast industrial complex, kowtowed to these companies. And it's still, well, you know, we've got to put the listeners first. If you're listening to me on Spotify, no, I'm sorry. You can listen to me for free over here. If you don't want to, okay, then don't. It has not hurt me. You know,
well, I think people like Don Ostroff, you know, they know the content and they brought in the content, but then you have to do something with it. Then you have to turn it into money, and it's step two didn't happen. Like,
and the other thing is the Obamas. You know, I would say the Obamas left because they were exclusive. They didn't like they don't need money. They got more money than God, possibly. Yeah. I know that's not true, but you know, as an expression, and they didn't like the fact that they only really had 30% of the listening market. A lot of their friends, well, hey, I use Apple. How come I can't get you on Apple? Well, you got to get Spotify. Spotify's a pain in the ass. I don't like the interface, whatever. It's very personal. A listening app for anything, any app is personal.
You know, I'm starting to wonder, I'm starting to wonder if Joe will leave Spotify. I mean, he's kind of got them by the balls, if you think about it.
Well,
I mean, like, because what the next, the only other show that's, well, we don't know if it's profitable or anything. I mean, the only other show that's doing anything is that Call Her Daddy show. And who knows what those numbers are.
I cannot speak. Joe's a friend.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that at some point, I mean, hey, he may stay at Spotify. It's like, well, I mean, because if they lose Joe Rogan, I mean, that you got a lot of people that are going to leave. That won't renew their subscriptions.
Possibly. I really don't know. I mean, you can still get Spotify with the ads for basically free. I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So I'm not sure that's true. And I pay for Spotify I still get ads with Joe Rogan, which is a little annoying.
That's great. Yeah.
Every 10 minutes, you know, they just break right in. It's not like it's we'll be right back or anything. It's just boom. There you go. Two ads in a block. I don't know. What I do know is that Joe is blanketing the market, delivering much more than I think he's licensed to them. To make sure that he maintains his position as the great American conversationalist. So whatever he does, wherever he goes or stays, he will be the king of conversation. Ooh, the king of conversation. There you go.
Oh, there you go. That's
it. And he is. Unfortunately, whatever he does, he'll have to... You know, they censored me. I said some stuff on there that... During my episode that they had to bleep.
Just language or?
Oh, yeah. It's horrible language. I was using words as an example of words that are a problem.
Okay.
And it was so hilarious that the words that were a problem, I could not discuss them as words that are a problem because they're a problem. So I learned something else. So you know, this is right after the show. Joe says, well, you know, that word's going to be a problem for X, Y, or Z. And I'm like, nah. And he also, honestly, he said, let's not have that be the center of our 3.5 hour talk. And I said, oh yeah, I'm with you. Just bleep it out or whatever. Now, apparently when they upload to Spotify, a transcript is made right away.
I bet it is.
Yeah. So for whatever reason, they also decided to blur my actual mouth so you couldn't even read my lips. And I thought that was hilarious. I love it. And exactly what we hoped would happen. People were like, what did he say? I'm F-bombing. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. And then, they bleeped it. What were those words?
Yeah, now everybody has to know what the words were. Yeah,
I think it's a great bit, actually. That was pretty funny.
I think that Spotify must have it's like a network operations center, you know, with all the big screens and everything. They have like a J-Rock, like a Joe Rogan operations center. It's like as soon as that thing comes in, transcript, boom, boom, boom,
yeah.
Video, oh, blur yeah. the yeah. mouth, move the telestrator, you know.
Yeah, all they have to do is upload and that's it. There's even very little interaction.
That's funny.
But no matter what
you got double bleep.
That was great. But whatever Joe does, it'll work for Joe. I don't think there's any problem there. Anyway, that doesn't really matter. What matters is I think we're on the right track and we did the right thing. Now, the one more is also, I can't get to the full story, but there seems to be issues with Patreon now.
Yeah. I saw something about, now that I'm trying to remember what it was.
Well, it was Pod News had it, and
okay,
Patreon's growth has ground to a halt. You don't say. The number of creators, I got a real problem with it. We need it. How? Let's just say
you don't like creators.
Patrons. It used to be patrons. Just call them patrons and patronizers. On the site with one or more patrons rose. Oh, there you go. Less than 2% last year compared to nearly 40% in 2020. Please note that Patreon rose, raised over $100 million. And these are investors. And the valuation was $4 billion valuation. So, you know, it's all ending for them too. And now, you know, oh, the CEO is like, you know, there's a rumor of sexual harassment and whatever else is going on. I mean, I literally cannot read the article.
Stripe with a P. Mm-hmm. They're also looking shaky. You know, there's an article came out this last week that was from the information that was talking about Stripe. Mm-hmm. And evidently they're having some financial trouble because payment processors demand high fees.
Yep.
And they're not seeing enough traffic. It's very similar to the Spotify issue. I mean, the whole thing is beginning to, I don't want to say implode. I think that's sensationalist.
No, it's not.
But it's beginning to retract to a certain point where these things look, you know, as a developer, you just automatically think, oh, if I need to take payments, Stripe. That's right. What I'm doing. A simple API. They've been around for a while. They're stable. They seem to have, you know, there's no problem. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and Stripe will be gone. Well, it may not be tomorrow, but once you start reading stories like this, Patreon, Stripe, these companies, you start thinking, well, but maybe it's not as sure of a thing as I thought it was. And then it's like, well, then you need a fallback. That's why I kind of let out with that story about Strike and Clover and that kind of stuff, because those fallbacks, those peer-to-peer, direct, decentralized payment fallbacks, those could become crucial, as crucial as an escape hatch out of all of this system. Not that you like there, you know, to have a dual strategy. It's just prudent. I mean, continue to sell your ads if you can get them in your show, if that's what you want. And then also have a value for value supported, you know, like ask, do value for value at the same time. It doesn't have to be that you just totally, you can only have one model or another. I mean, look at Coda Radio and the Jupiter Broadcasting guys. I mean, they have memberships, they do ads, and they do value for value.
Yeah.
They're covered, man. I mean, they have lots of strategy, lots of fallback options in case one of those things goes belly up. It's just a good idea. I mean, just don't put your eggs all in one basket just because, you know, you can see that when the economy begins to turn sour like it has in a weird way, by the way. I mean, this is a slow motion meltdown that's unlike anything.
People have no idea what's coming. They have no idea what's happening here.
And I think the critical part of that is that even the people in charge
have no idea. So imagine my delight when we have old time, old school, elder of the podcasting business, Todd, take Blueberry 100% value for value for every single one of their clients, their customers. And go out and promote it like a crazy man. Todd was around way back in the day, and he was an interesting kind of guy, you know, and you basically had Libsyn, and I don't remember why, but for some reason, Libsyn and I never got along. I don't know what the rub was. Maybe I was just a dick. It's totally possible. I don't know. But
I get that feeling with a lot of people, though. I think there's always been this sort of, You've got people who love Libsyn or hate them. There's no in between.
Well, I don't hate anybody, but I could never get along. And I think they were a little brash, like, this is the way to go. We're doing it. You need us. You know, maybe it was that, or I felt that. It may not be true. And Todd was always kind of, you know, Blueberry, Raw Voice initially. I think it was Raw Voice and then Blueberry. I don't remember. Yeah. Was, you know, like a kind of a scrappy little company. I was just, you know, huffing and puffing and doing stuff, but very committed and very dedicated and also a podcaster. It's really important. You know, when you're running what was her name?
Ostroff.
Where's her podcast? What does she know about podcasting? Where's your podcast, lady?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You hear me now? Yeah. so that kind of stuff is like, and I mean, for some reason, this is a tipping point for me. I can't explain exactly why. I think Albie is a very important player. Now, I do want to say, and I love the Albie guys, but you know, we also have to provide off ramps for people who want to be decentralized, because you know, now there's three, maybe four different hosting companies all relying on Albie.
Right.
That's great. You know, I use it for the statistics. I mean, to me, it's a service. I love having Get Albie address, and I send 1% to them from all of my shows that I have control over, so that I can get the Conchacks and the Saturn statistics. And, you know, which is great, and it's value for value right there out of the box. I don't rely 100% on Albie for, you know, to put all my money. A great benefit is receiving, you know, 1% from different shows and then connecting the Podverse app to it. So I know I'm never going to run out of sats.
You know, we need Breeze's solution to come in.
Yeah, we need the green light stuff to come in. Absolutely.
A second one, because you would love to see at least two LSPs in the space so that you can have that distribution and not be all relying on one person.
I'm not sure we can call Albie an LSP per se.
Yeah, I just don't know what else to call them.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And again, I love them. This is not a slam against Albie at all, or anybody. Everyone who's participating, I love you.
I think they would be conscious enough to say that that's probably a good idea too. I mean, like,
or at least be able to, well, in essence, you can't. I was just thinking about this today because my Umbral, which runs on that stupid laptop, was down for a couple hours, and I don't know exactly what was going on, but it took me a bit to get it up. So maybe it was offline for 10 hours. I might have lost a boost, which would be a boost for the helipad that I read people's boosts on here. Thought, you know, I really need to put that on a better machine, and you know, so my choices are. I change value blocks everywhere I can in the splits, or I set up a new machine and then I have to restore I have to get my Lightning channels and my Lightning node and bring that as a backup. I mean, it's not a simple solution.
Right.
Whereas I believe the green light solution, what Breeze is working on, is explicitly you can take that away from their infrastructure and just use it yourself without their back end or cloud watchtower, whatever it is. I'm paraphrasing. We need to have I've forgotten his name. Roy.
Roy, yeah.
He hasn't talked to me anymore. We need to have Roy on to explain when he's ready. And we'll have the Blueberry guys on in next week.
Let's see. Yes. Blueberry. We're having Blueberry guys on next week. And then I'm, working on getting, I got another guest for the week, the 2 weeks after that.
And,
I cannot reveal.
That's okay. That's all right. Congratulations to Podcast Addict. I've been talking about them on, so now I'm able to say, hey, Podverse, Podcast Addict, CurioCaster, they've got lit. And
is that still in beta on Podcast?
I don't know, because I'm saying, like, it may still be in beta, but I'm getting people saying it works. It's great. I got a notification. I'm tuning into the show. So I'm very. I mean, that's moving forward. We got three now. CurioCaster. I have a feeling Stephen B is maybe learning how to do a proper app, but he also seems to be working on the music side, and that is probably a topic we should discuss as well.
Yes.
So now we have Wavelake. But we don't. Do we have, is any Wavelake feed in the index?
Yes, I think there is one or two now. They've just kind of started to trickle in a little bit.
Because we're in this, I saw a thread with Stephen B, and we're in this horrible chicken and egg thing all of a sudden.
Right.
Where Wavelake is, well, until there's an app that, that really presents music properly, we don't really want to do that. It's like, what? The whole point is you need to create the content. Hey, there's a lot of stuff that
are the content.
Yeah, you're the content if you're not going to put it out there. And so I'm just thinking, please consider what you're doing. Don't become a Spotify.
Yeah, I don't think that. I've got an email thread going with Michael over there,
mm-hmm.
and we're gonna have like a call. and just kind of hammer out, just so we make sure that he, you know, like, I think he just wants to understand what's going on. I mean, cause I think he's just been observing this from, you know, from the edges. He's trying to do this correctly. And I think, you know, according to spec and everything. So I think we're just going to try to put our heads together and make sure that we're,
I love you, Dave Jones. This is why there's two of us. So I get all heated and like, wow, what's going on? And then you're like, hey, we're just going to have a little chat. I'll set it all up. Not an issue.
And I sounded we'll like that it. In the email.
Too. I know I you said, do. Hey. Your emails do sound that like that. They really do. I'm not kidding.
We're going to have a little chat.
I'm like, I don't like what they're doing. I hate this. And then Dave's like, hey, let's just have a little chat.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'd about take out my little,
and you know what? And you speaker. Know what? Maybe it won't work at all. I don't know. I did have a revelation. Someone pointed something out to me. Yes. Cause you know, I'm still doing my, cross app comments, through the social interact tag, for no agenda, which of course is the big one. And so what I was always doing is, after, you know, I publish everything and I create a post, for people to, you know, a root post on noagendasocial.com. And yes. Someone said, hey, you know, that's really interesting. Why do you send out, cause I always, through the Freedom Controller, I send out a tweet and a toot. And the reason, okay, send out a tweet and a toot, after I've filled out everything, I've published through Sovereign Feeds, everything's out and is, you know, I always want the RSS people to get it first. Then I'll tweet and toot. And someone said, hey, I really like this, you know, this comment thread that you're starting, but why isn't it the actual toot that you send when the show is published? I'm like, that's a very interesting question. And I'm even considering doing, you know, when we go lit, to make that, just like you do, to make that the actual comment thread. So it can be, probably can even be, I'm not quite sure if that would work. I don't know, but somehow it made sense to not have that all separated, and that came organically, and so I have a little glimmer of hope.
You know, let me boost your glimmer of hope by saying that I began created the project for the Boost Activity Pub.
Yeah,
Bridge. Boost! I started that last night. Cranked that up, and
from your sick bed, I might add.
Drips of sweat, my feverish forehead were dripping on the keyboard, and realizing that Apple Silicon is still a completely horrible product for trying to do any sort of compiled software outside of Swift and Xcode.
Really?
So promptly switched to a real computer and finished setting everything up there. But we're... So it feels good to get back into some Rust code, and this will be good. I think so. What it'll do is just what?
The amount of times I've said, it feels really good to get in some Rust code again. I'm just feeling dynamite about myself.
Yeah. You DM me that out every day, 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh yeah.
Feels so good about the Rust.
It'll just, you know, it'll watch for boosts coming in, match up the episode. I'm hoping it'll just be a very simplistic thing. Match up the episode, you give it a Mastodon, API to talk to. And, so it'll match up the episode, go pull the social interact tag URL out of there, for that episode, for that podcast. Mm-hmm. And then, it's polling LND, to get those boostergrams. Pulls out the episode ID and all that kind of stuff, just matches everything up to find the social interact tag and then just cross post it over to, as a reply to that. I think sounds simple.
I love it. I love it.
Forward.
I love it.
And something you can just run as a daemon, you know, on a server somewhere. Cause I think that would be good for like, hosts that have integrations that they want to do and that kind of thing. It's just anybody really. Mm-hmm. It's sort of agnostic. You just give it your LND node. And then you give it the your Mastodon URL, Mastodon API credentials, and just let it do its job, you know?
I'm looking for the Where's that? Where's the stats page? We should probably look at this now. This is launched. The stats page that
for what for
Spurlock puts together, which is the it was like the December 3. Where he has our stats for which are better than what's on the website. How many value for value podcasts? You know, how many transcript are being used? Where is that thing?
Oh, I've got that here. Let me give it to you. I'll signal it to
Thank
you.
Thank you. I thought I saved that somewhere in a bookmark.
Okay, I just sent
it. Okay, let me see. Here we go. Oh, this is your version. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have where's value for value?
Feeds with value blocks about 7 from the bottom, 8 maybe. 11,410.
Okay, that's up a bit. I don't know how much up it is from the last time I checked.
Yeah, I don't know why the site doesn't match. Newsflash: I don't know why our website does half the stuff it does because I didn't build any of it.
Newsflash!
It's sort of a bizarre, thing that I've never had to deal with before.
Yeah,
where I'm responsible for running something that I haven't. That I don't know even what it does.
Right. Just, so the podcastindex.org shows 11,083. So that's off by a couple hundred.
Yeah, I don't have no idea why. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh well.
Oh whatever. I mean, like, so the let's see, episodes with. So here's the deal with feeds with music, medium. Is this this show's 44,510. And so Stephen B was like, a lot of those things, I'm saying, a lot, by the way.
That's okay. You're not feeling well.
I'm not. Feeds with medium music encompasses what's actually in the feed and what Alex and I have been compiling based on the machine learning algorithm that we're running on the
Stephen didn't content. Seem too happy with.
No, Stephen was mad at me. And, so, I understand his frustration. It was well explained and legitimate. And I think there should probably be some sort of flag or something on that endpoint where you can say, okay, show me everything or just show me organic. Wouldn't that be a good solution?
Yeah. I mean, you got to ask Stephen B. I mean, I'm all for it.
Well, he said he's furious, but he hexed me with sickness. So I'm at fault for my own illness at this point. So, I was just thinking if because we're probably, I see value in being able to running some sort of machine language model to find things that are going on in the audio.
Sure.
Because there's just going to be tons of music out there that doesn't, that's not going to get tagged. But then again, if you're, he had good points. He's like, okay, early adopters, you're just burying the people that are actually
giving it a try. That's for sure.
And so, it makes sense. Yeah. I feel you. So I think that's an easy thing to do. Steven, does that work for you? Tell me if it does. If it doesn't, we'll figure something else out.
All right. What else do you have on your list? Because we've just been yapping.
We have been going for a while, haven't we? Mm-hmm. I got other stuff.
You're going off mic.
I had to reach down and get my pad. The namespace phase 6, starting to get back into that a little bit, but I think we need to start looking at it.
Yeah. It's been quite a while.
Yeah. So I'm thinking remote item clearly
is remote item something that should wait until we have some music in there? Because it's really for playlists and I don't see how it's going to be used that much before then. It's just me.
No, I think it can be, it can be used for lots of things. Playlists of videos too, and there's 7,251 feeds in there with video, and those are organic. None of those have been modeled.
So. I also have no way to find them in any app, as far as I know.
Yeah, but yeah, it's there.
Is there an endpoint where I can say show video only?
Or no, medium? Not yet.
Okay.
I'm still trying to work out this stuff with video. So some of these endpoints get funky. That's another topic there. You know, it's like live. My first thought was, okay, put live. I'm going to modify the endpoint for episodes by feed ID and make it return both regular podcast items and live items. Mm-hmm. That way it's one call for the app and they get both if they want it.
Right.
That still feels okay. I mean, it still feels all right, but then I started thinking, you know, maybe that just needs to be a different thing altogether. Maybe instead of episodes by feed ID, maybe it needs to be live by feed ID. I'm just trying to figure out for efficiency's sake.
I think you should do a poll, a Mastodon poll.
A poll, yes.
seems to be a great way to determine what we want to do.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'll just pull an Elon and say, should I shut down the API today? And, you know, yes or no.
Exactly.
No, I think, I don't know. I don't think there's any right answers for this because for one thing, it makes people coming in and grabbing stuff out of that endpoint for the feed podcast, for episodes by feed ID. It gives them back a live items. It gives them the live items back and they're like, oh, what's this? You know, which is what I would say to myself if I got that back. I would, as a developer, I would say, ooh, what's this?
Right.
I was expecting episodes. And now I have this thing called live episodes in here, which is cool. So maybe I should put that in my app.
Okay. It's so rich. It's such a rich API you've built there, Dave. It really is. I mean, you can be really proud of what you've built here.
I'm trying to keep it from becoming an unwieldy monster. That's what's really going on here. Yeah. You have to maintain some structure and something that makes sense. Otherwise, you just end up with a big mess. And so I'm trying to keep, as we add more and more things, I don't want it to just become a like bowl of noodles. You know what I mean?
There's the title. Thank you. It took me a while, but bowl of noodles.
That's always the fear there. Cause you start, every web developer knows this. You start out with you create your new project, you add your CSS, your style sheet. And then you're like, man, this time, this project, I'm going to keep everything organized.
It's going to be so beautiful. Clean. Yeah. It's going to be dynamite. No worries. We got you covered.
And 3 months into it, you can't find anything in that thing. And it's a complete mess. And you're ready to yes. burn it to the ground.
Yeah. I have that all the time with my Rust projects.
Oh, I bet you do. Yeah. It's very easy to do with Rust projects.
Should we thank a couple people?
Let's thank more than a couple.
We have quite a few to thank, I believe. Let me see. 1,000 sats and above for the lit boost that have been coming in. Midas, 9999. And he says, sat streamer.
Sat streamer.
Of course he would.
Niner.
That's right. 7777 from Tone Wrecker. Late to the live stream today, but it was an active week with Wave Lake launching and many new feeds appearing carrying the music tag, which can be observed and compare options and functionality. Appreciate nice. Everyone working on this. Well, where are those?
They're in the endpoint return, but they're all buried in to Stephen's point, they're buried. Okay. You can't find
them. Got it. Okay. Chad F 3333. Todd Cochran needs some live boost for a live demo he's doing. Check his latest toot. And that's on podcastenix.social. That's very cool, man. Chimp comes in with 22,126. Real men boost lit, says Chimp.
Boost!
Then we got 69,420. No code there, Eastside Tony. In the morning, gentlemen, thank you, Adam and Dave, for all the hard work you do for the P2.0 community. Also, shout out to all the trolls in the audience. Follow me on Defend the Network Lit, DTN Lit, on No Agenda Tube to keep up with... Oh, yes. Wow. You could do that away from the mic. I mean, it's literally
my ear got wet
when you did that.
I am away from the mic. I just got a man-sized nose.
Thank you, Isai Tony. 33,333 from Eric PP. Health karma for Dave. Ah, you know what? I should. Do I have karma here? I think I have some karma. Yeah, I got some health karma for Dave. Of course,
I need it right now.
You've got karma.
The legend's buzzing.
Harv Hat 10101. Technical difficulties, please boost.
Boost.
Yeah, we had a little problem earlier on. And there's Todd Cochran with 50,000 sats. He says, presenting 2.0 to over 500 podcasters at PodFest. Education is key. Of 500 in the audience, only 5 knew about podcasting 2.0. We need to spread the word.
Boost, boost, boost.
And you're doing just that, Todd. Thank you, brother. Good, good job. There's 6969 from Alwyn at Conshacks. There's 5,000 from Chaos 99, another great episode. I love it when a plan comes together, said every podcasting 2.0 app ever.
Yep.
Then we have Lyceum, 221,905 Satoshis.
Paula! Woo! Sakala, yeah. 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
From the Boostagram numerology page, Rand's day boost of 221,905 Satoshis. Ayn Rand's birthday, February 2nd, 1905. Best premises. Oh, this is, of course, Martin Lindeskog. Lyceum, yes. On podcastindex.social. Thank you, brother. Very nice.
Thank you very much, Martin. Appreciate
Rasta Calavera, 4343. On the 43rd day, there was much rejoicing. What am I missing there?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Let me see. And I think that was what we got for the live boost. Yeah, at least that's what I have. If I miss you, I'm sorry. There's one more that just came in. 25,000 from Borlog. Borelog. The two of you are a gift to the industry. I appreciate all of your work.
I don't know about that.
I don't think the industry may disagree, but...
Yes, I think they have a different opinion.
What do we have that came in previously, Dave?
We have three top-notch special PayPals right now. We have a Marco with $500.
Oh, yeah, he's got a
baller. Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
I actually forgot to thank him on a Chad F pointed out to me. We're thanking everyone who has supported us in a big way, the hosting companies, and omitted Marco. Apologies for that. It's very, yeah, very much appreciated. This it's every month, right? Every month. It's $6,000 a year.
And
think about that.
And I just, and still no, not even a 2.0, not any 2.0 support yet in Overcast. And see, he's supporting us just based on the principle of the thing, the ideology. And that means a lot. I mean, like, he's not even really, he's supporting the idea and the principles and the platform. And, you know, with one, you know, one day he'll do live and these other things, I'm sure. But I mean, it's nice to see that. It's like somebody's like, yes, I just support you. I support you in principle, even if I'm not there yet.
And I highly appreciate it. I love that you said ideology, because I'm sure we have different ideology in general, yeah, maybe political thinking or whatever. And that is hands across the border, brother. That is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. See, Mike, $500 a month is a Tennessee child support payment. No, it is. Yeah, it is. Alabama one too.
See, Mike, I think has 11 kids actually.
Oh, he would know those stats.
Yeah.
Then. Yes.
Yeah.
Buzzsprout, our boys over at Buzzsprout, Kevin and Tom and Alvin and the gang, $500 every month.
Baller! Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It's end of the month. Yeah. We got the ballers dropping big balls at the end of the month here.
They've got a new subscription product,
which looks kind of cool.
I dropped my thing. Sorry.
Yeah, I was looking at that. You know, we've been looking for a PayPal subscription replacement,
and Tom said that. You know, they rolled it out sort of as is, and then it's, you know, when we get something in place to do open subscriptions, which is sort of a background thing we've been working on over the months. When we get something finalized on that, you know, they can pivot and incorporate that as well, and support both.
Nice.
So I like that kind of stuff. I like it. So, you know, you build a thing and you're like, okay, well, you know, we'll build it now because we want it for our business, but then we'll, as soon as the open thing comes along, we'll add that in too.
Cause it's, like it. It's fiat, right?
For now it is, but they did the value for value thing so that,
Value for value. The only problem is
any payment amount you want. Yeah.
I'm going to have to sell the 15% fee to Dvorak. That's going to be hard.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. He hates PayPal for what do they take? 4%. They take a lot.
50. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can try. Yeah, that's why if it's Satoshi's, I can probably hide it. He won't know.
Yeah.
I think I can hide it from Dad.
Fountain, $200. Speaking of hiding from Dad.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Baller.
Thank you, Oscar.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Appreciate Oscar. It's fun having him on the show.
That was great.
To Oscar in a while. Yeah.
Very cool.
What else? We got some boosts. We got some normal boosts.
Mm-hmm.
12345 from Dreb Scott through Fountain. Yo. And his message is RM/RF/*. Dreb, you're trying to wipe my machine? Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, Dreb.
He's trying to hack our node.
Dreb Scott, who does, chapters for pretty much every podcast I've ever heard of.
He is a
chapter machine, and we put him in for 5% all these podcasts. You know, he's probably driving a Corvette by now.
He's got saving up for Lambo
emblem. Yes, okay, a jacket.
Yeah, Lambo emblem.
Jacket.
Nomad Joe, 1,000 sats through Fountain. He says, "Good show, thank you, Nomad Joe."
Thank you. C Mike said 4% is only what PayPal takes in terms of money. They also take your soul.
That's worth a lot more than 4%.
Yes.
Cole McCormick 133333 through Fountain says my podcast is a Satoshi exclusive experience. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
Also got a 12345 from Mike Dell with the same request. Go podcasting. Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
Just shot that in.
Another Dreb Scott 33333 through Podverse says his chapters for episode 118 have been published. Enjoy boosting from Podverse to see if the boost appears in Fountain.
Boost.
Yeah, so I put this. I did what Oscar told me to do.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
To put my own wallet in for 1%, and he had to change something because he saw that only showed up here or there. I'm not quite sure, but it's something's working, and he's working on it, so it should work. Boost from other, and it's kind of fun. I didn't realize that basically I'm sending a 1% to myself. In the
Fountain.
In the Fountain wallet. I'd be happy to just send the 1% to them, but it's very friendly. So you add yourself for 1% in the split for your own Fountain address. And then apparently any other boost from any other app will also show up in the Fountain Lightning boost comments.
I told my buddy Tim from the GG No Re podcast, I was like, well, now, since we talked to Oscar last week, I know how to game the system. So now I can boost you to the top of the chart whenever at will.
Yeah. Yes. Which
is, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's important to know how to manipulate the algo.
What's interesting is, you know, I put Pastor Jimmy and Dame Annette, that got their show up and running, which is about a half an hour every week, Living Up in a Down World. And they've created a community on Fountain. I mean, and I didn't say anything, you know, it just kind of happened, and because he was using Fountain, and so now they, you know, they talk about their community on Fountain. I mean, that I was like, whoa,
that's pretty cool.
I'm not going to say don't do that. I'm just going to see how that plays out, and hopefully people will boost them from other apps like I'm doing.
Parfait says, PayPal takes 4% and the occasional $2,500 when you say something they don't like. That's true.
Details, man. It's details.
Yes, details.
It's cost of doing business.
Gene Everett, 10,000 sats through Fountain, says, boost, boost, boost.
Yo, yo.
Boost, boost, boost.
Thank you, Gene.
Another Gene Everett, 1,000 sats. He says, Oscar, love you, friend, but wow, Fountain is bugging on me for now. What's up? I don't know.
Shit happens, brother. Shit happens. Yep. Come on. It's amazing any of this stuff works at all.
Yep. It's fine, the software with no bugs. They don't, there's not many of those.
Yeah, like try the FAA.
FAA. FAA. I accidentally deleted a file.
Yeah, right. I'll never forget when I started flying helicopters. I was flying the Eurocopter. The Eurocopter, I think it was a 120. And the first time I got in, you know, you boot everything up, you turn on all the avionics, and it was Windows 3.1. I'm like, holy crap, I do not want to fly this thing.
Let me out.
Didn't feel good at all. Like, no, it's fine. It always works. Okay.
You would feel better. You would have felt better if it said MS-DOS 6.
Probably.
Than you would have with Windows 3.1.
Yeah, yeah, VAX, yeah. You know, whatever.
VAX. 12345 from Brian of London. And he's through Fountain, and he says, my Hive DA boost system is being rewritten, but I'll do some ad hoc boosting in the meantime using Fountain today for this episode, obviously. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate
thank you very much.
Bombshell.
Oh, Roy Scheinfeld, 54321.
There you go. And Roy.
He says, perhaps activity feed should be part of the PI standard. Like the Fountain activity feed.
Well, from what I understand, that super secret Sam Sethi project, PodFans, is also going to have some version of an activity feed. And I know that he's talked to Oscar about it. There's stuff going on. The children are playing without us, Dave. I have no idea what they're doing, but something's going on with them. It's not it's not a bad idea.
No, I mean, like,
once you see
a couple of things working, you can... Then you can know what to work towards standardizing. You can watch the community and see what's bubbling up to the top.
That's a very interesting idea. Thank you, Roy.
Yeah, and then that could be baked on top of ActivityPub or something like that.
Oh, man.
Huh. Interesting. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I like that idea. My mind is spinning.
We need to get, we'll go into that when we have him on the show. Oh, look who it is.
No.
It's Dave Jackson, the legendary podcast, the Hall of Fame podcaster.
The one and only.
20,000 sats through Castomatic. He says, Anchor is a river of garbage, the sage indeed.
Thank you, the Dave Jackson, everybody.
Sir Spencer, 33333, through CurioCaster, and he says, can I help parse these 44,000 music feeds down somewhere? Last time I was on and looking through music feeds, there are not many I saw that were truly music. Ablecraft has aired its last episode, and I'm looking to get more involved in whatever the future of music medium tag will look like. Mm. I'll start working on that, Sir Spencer.
Good. Seeing this.
Anonymous 2222. It was a good try.
I wanted to say something. I got a note from someone. Yeah. I can't remember who it was. They tried to put their music on Anchor.
You get rejected immediately.
Kicked off immediately. This is not when, even if it's your own music, and that's what the email said, even if you've licensed it yourself, your own stuff. No. And that, of course, is very interesting because it's business competing inside their own business.
Spotify is the strangest company in this regard. In the way that they want you to be a customer, but never use the service.
They're the ABBA of podcast companies. Oops.
it's like, please sign up for our service, but don't actually listen to any music.
I got to play some ABBA now. What should we play? What ABBA shall we play? Are you familiar with any ABBA?
I don't know the titles. I only know them when I hear them. Like, I can't name them. It's like all I remember is like hazy, glowy videos where all the women had feathered hair.
This is okay. Oh, my
Dancing
goodness.
Queen. Yeah, of course.
No, Dancing Queen is too easy, people. No, you got to do something like.
Are you deep cut?
Not a deep cut, but I mean, I grew up with ABBA, believe it or not. And here's what I would play.
Believe it or not.
This is their prayer for the day. Ladies and gentlemen, Spotify says money, money, money. Remember this one?
I work all night, I work all day.
Yes, yeah.
Let me see. Let me get to the chorus. Where's the chorus?
Money, money, money. Must be funny.
In a Spotify world. Money, money, money. All right, sorry.
That's the hook that you know, every DJ can just do wonders with. You can throw it, yeah.
Hey, you can do it forever. You can go on forever with that song. Yeah, absolutely.
Anonymous 2222 through Castomatic, no note. Give us a note the next time, Anonymous. C Dub 7777 Striper Boost.
Yo, yo.
Podcast Index webpage. And he says Boostbot now has 777 Angel Boost. Okay.
I love it, man.
Yes.
Boost.
Nice.
Another C Dub 7777 through the Boost CLI. And he says now with Angel Boost. Oh. I don't know what this Angel Boost thing is.
7777. That's an Angel Boost.
Oh, okay. That's the, okay.
We call it like Striper, but okay. It's fine. You can do an Angel.
Yeah, we're just different tribes. Mm-hmm. C Dubs, 1111, a satchel of Richards to the Boost CLI. Mere Mortals podcast, Row of Ducks 2222 through Fountain, and he says, boosting to fund Dave's stats addiction rehab. We'll have to wean him off Excel sheets over a year. Can't just go cold turkey on that. Just kidding, Dave. Love you, man. All right.
You know, someone, Brian with an I. Sent me an actual satchel of Richards, which is a bag of gummies that have a Richard like look.
Oh, okay.
And I could with my teeth and everything, I could have one maybe a day, you know, because I'd have to go and clean it all out.
Get them out of the crevices.
And then I had two, and then all of a sudden, Tina had eaten the whole satchel of Richards. She felt really bad about it. She's, I'm an addict. I couldn't help it. I'm like, did you see what you were eating? Yes.
They're like Pringles. You can't have just one.
That's right. You can't just have one, Richard.
No. I mean, once you go down that path, you're all in. Kyron, again, from the Mere Mortals podcast 43210, the CurioCaster. And he says, shamelessly self-plugging and suggesting that if anyone wants to hear more in-depth about Fountain, they check out the Mere Mortals for the convo I just had with Oscar.
Right.
Ironically, I listened to some sending of that. This through CurioCaster.
That is very ironic. That was pretty good. I listened to probably 40 minutes of it. That was an interesting conversation.
Kyron is a good interviewer.
It clearly, between us having Oscar on and Kyron was much better. Much better at the interview.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We suck.
Kind of.
Speak for yourself, Richards. Mm-hmm. Gene Bean 22222 through Fountain, and he says, listen to this episode in an app other than Fountain, just didn't feel right. Had to switch over when Oscar came into the boardroom.
Aw. Yeah, there you go.
Gene Bean Leap Boost 1337, and he says, no idea why Adam, but setting up MoonPay in Fountain, I had to do the photo of my license and the selfie pictures where I had to move my head left and right as part of their really? KYC.
Huh.
Huh.
And where is he? Well, what country is he in?
Don't know.
That's interesting because I didn't have to do it. Tina didn't have to do it. Other people I know didn't have to do it.
Clearly, he's on a no-fly list.
Yeah.
Yeah. No sat list. Yeah. Did you see where the no-fly list leaked? Somebody stuck it up on a...
Yeah, it seems
on
to
an
me,
open S3 bucket.
It seems to me that, you know, if our national security infrastructure is handing out Excel sheets to airlines, and that is the no fly list, no wonder it's impossible to get off that thing. I mean, who's in charge of replacing it on the S3 bucket? I mean, seriously, people, what is going on with this?
Somebody set the read-only flag on the file, and they just nobody's ever been able to figure out how to turn it off, so you just can't get off the list.
Maybe that's why S3 decided to change some things.
Yeah, but that may be why. Yeah.
Could be.
Gene Bean, 22222 through Fountain, and he says, I'm so glad to hear Oscar say that the competition is against Apple and Spotify, not Podverse or Castomatic or other 2.0 apps. Yeah, that was good. That was a good comment.
That was a great comment. Absolutely. Yeah,
and he's right.
100%.
100%.
Right.
100% fire.
100%.
Nicholas B58. It's 3,000 sats through Fountain. And he says, laugh out loud. I have now over 250 podcasts I have not listened to. I'm about 4 months behind. Whatever. Probably I have to bench them. Greetings from Nicholas. He's got 250 podcasts, but he somehow managed to listen to ours. I feel honored.
I had that happen the other day. My phone ran out of space. And I guess... all the
podcasts
I got podcasts automatic downloading on Fountain, on Podverse,
the same ones.
It's like, oh yeah, because I have the same, I import my OPML list to each of them, so I'm like, oh, there doesn't seem to be an easy way in any of these apps to nuke all downloads. With one swift stroke of my Richard.
That would be a nice feature.
It would be a great feature.
It's like unsticky all the items in the river, which sometimes works.
Yes. No, it, you, yeah, sometimes it works. And you sometimes. Most of the time it works.
B. Mozzie.
Brian.
125,000 sats.
Ho, ho.
Impala. Shot caller. 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
And he says, boost for Oscar.
Yeah.
Boost.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. Another Brian Mozzie. 5,000 through Fountain. And he says, based on Adam's comments on the functionality of Fountain's activity stream, I think Podcasting 2.0 should unblock Fountain.fm visible boost lightning comments.
No, we were going to get a... it's all going to work out.
It's going to work because you it's got the work. Thing set up now.
Yeah, it's going to work out. We got that set up. And then you're going to have the integration part with the bridge. And we were going to... Oscar said he would work on something that we could uncloak them after we've published. May not be necessary with what you're building. I don't know. You're right.
We're going to figure it out.
We're going to figure it out for sure.
Mr. Great band. Sent us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mr. Who was the good bass player? No, that was Mr. Big. You remember Mr. Big?
Mr. Big. Kip was Winger was also a bass player. Winger.
Yeah, but yeah. She's only 17. Yeah, not Winger. Mr. Big, I can't remember their bass player's name, but he was really good. But Mr., what was their hit?
Kyrie Eleison. A broken wing, so take these broken wings
and learn to fly away.
Fly again.
Learn to live so free.
Dave, I got to get some reverb on you, brother. I'll have that set for the next show. You got a good voice. You're a good singer.
Oh, my God.
Better than I am.
Mr. 12345 through Fountain says, longtime listener, first time feature requesting. I have an RSS feed from Anchor.
No.
I have added it via podcastindex.org add tab. Success. Adding the same feed again, it comes back with dupe feed. Oh, yes. That's true. Desired behavior. Return the time of last scraping and add a button to rescrape like a torrent index. HCAPTCHA is already there. Super useful feature for updates, corrections to the feed to be pushed out, recached ASAP. Hope you get my drift here. I'm confused what caches where and when. Yeah, well, I think, that's possible. I mean, to have like a button to do repoll.
People are going to be hitting that like maniacs.
And I think he's trying to say that you would have to put it on a captcha.
Yeah.
To try to protect it somewhat. But
a timeout. Isn't that what Podping is for?
Yes. Send Podping. Do Podping.
Where can they find out more? Right.
I don't know.
Have a pod ping go from Anchor. Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, you can do. I don't know. I'll have to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to think about this. But the people know if you make anything easy, it'll be abused. And so there needs to be some sort of entrance fee. And the entrance fee is
100,000 sats.
No, I was thinking more like learn how to program.
I like the idea. Yeah, you want to this is not a bad idea. I mean, I'd say it kind of jokingly, but why not? LSAT. There you go. We'll charge you an LSAT to refresh your feed.
I can feel Alex bristling right now.
Oh yeah, like, of course.
Like, every hair stood up on the back of his neck.
He just unfollowed me. No,
he did.
No, I'm kidding.
Busy Brain, 5,000 sats through Fountain. He says, showing more sat love to you fellas from Reading Bitcoin Podcast. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Haven't listened, but I'll give it a whirl. Todd Cochran, 50,000 sats through Fountain. He says, Adam and Dave showing off boosts at PodFest.
Okay, so we just did that one. I think that's...
No. That was a different boostergram. It was a slightly different wording. Yes.
Wow. Well, boost! Thank you, Todd.
I just love the that Todd is walking around showing people him boosting, and it's all coming to this show.
I think it's illegal in a couple of states.
Do more of that. But yes.
Walking around boosting.
That's what Louis C.K. got in trouble for. The Tone Wrecker, 5,000 sats. Firing this boost off into space In the Name of Discovery and Conquering Fear of the Unknown.
Ooh.
Just a box in podcastindex.org asking for some sats. Whomever finds this bottle in the ocean, know that all appears well in the value for value land.
Oh,
Boost a Grand.
Thank you.
Spoken like a true lyricist and musician.
Indeed.
There. Sean McCune, 5,000 sats through the Podcast Index website. Boosting for, boosting from your website with Albie just to try it out. Well, it worked.
It worked. Thank you.
Orange Bat, $29.99 through Breeze. Podcastindex.org is the note. Whatever that means.
Yep. Thank you. It's correct.
It's true. Dan B, 2,000 sats. Good show with Oscar. I like that fountain is a nice, easy way to get into Lightning payments. Needing a MoonPay account and having to give driver license passport to them feels a little like a barrier still.
Huh.
Is it possible to give sats or opportunity to earn extra sats in return for being a premium member through an Apple subscription?
That's maybe an Oscar question. I'm not quite sure. Yeah.
Maybe Oscar will.
Well I don't know.
Note.
I don't know.
Dovey Doss, 25,031 sats through Fountain. He says, Prime Boost.
What was the number again?
25,031.
Ah, nice.
Sat streamer.
Prime Boost.
Yeah, he's getting geared up to create a public-private key pair. Chaos 99, 5,000 sats through Fountain. He says, another great episode. I love it when a plan comes together, said every podcasting 2.0 app ever.
Did we already read that? Boost!
Yeah, I think we read that one.
Okay, maybe I'm at the end of the thing. Oh, Alwyn from Conshacks.
Yeah,
6969, no note.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
I think we're at the end there.
It threw me off because we had the delimiter, and it's 50,000 this time instead of 33,015.
Oh, yes. What, Comic Strip Blogger has changed from 33,015?
Uh-huh.
To 50,000.
He said it was only 1 week only. He was very clear about this.
Oh, okay. Well, what do we have to do to be so grateful for this?
He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Just that. Thank you, Bigly, Adam, for tackling AI singularity during your fifth visit at Joe Rogan. Yo.
He had sent me a note. I don't know if it was a post. He said, you know, he's what I would call a TJ.
What is that?
I talked to Joe about this. I said,
Salt Jockey?
No, I said that I am not. He's not entirely a TJ, but I said to Joe, I said, I made the mistake of saying, you know, on my show, I'm going to go on Rogan. And what you get is all these people going, tell Joe to have this guy on, tell Joe to have that guy on, tell Jay who needs to be, you aren't pal, dead, tell Joe.
That's funny.
TJs. And that Comic Strip Blog was like, tell Joe to talk about the AI singularity, how we're all going to die. And I actually kind of brought that up.
It worked.
Hey, yes, we got a nice boost. Thank you, CSB.
You're not dissuading the TJs when you do that. When one of them works, if one of them works, they'll do it again.
If they want to send 50,000 sats, I mean, I'm purchasable.
That's true. Okay, we have prices.
That was it.
We got some monthlies. James over at Pod News, $50. Thank you, James. Appreciate that.
I think that's a big baller.
Baller! Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Mondo sats, babe.
Yeah, man. Sean McCune, $20. Michael Goggin, $5. Charles Current, $5. Cone Glotzbach, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. James Sullivan, $10. Jordan Dunville, $10. Leslie Martin, $2. Dreb Scott, $15. And Michael Kimmerer, $5.33.
Goodness, thank you all so much. This is very heartwarming, particularly the Satoshis, but we cannot discount those big $100, $500, $200 from the big supporters. That's what keeps it going. It pays the bills. Everything else goes right into liquidity on the node for anyone who needs a channel. And this is value for value. So whatever you get out of the podcast and the whole project, you are supporting it all, is incredibly appreciated. You can go to podcastindex.org. I keep forgetting to do this. And you can scroll to the bottom. There you will see a red donate button. You can support us with your fiat fund coupons. And I'm always forgetting to take a look if anyone used the on-chain donation to Tallycoin. And yes, Tallycoin member. We have two. Hold on. J Moon with 33,325 sats. Eric PP with 33,317 sats. So we have two today.
I think Eric PP does it just to be, I think he's wanting to be edgy. And
he literally said, do these on-chain donations still work? Well, yes, they do, man. Thank you. Thank you. That's mighty kind of you. And I will make a point of looking at these regularly now that we do it. Yes, they do work through the Tallycoin link right there. And of course, go to newpodcastapps.com now with HTTPS so that you can support us through any of the apps that support value for value. Thank you for your courage, etc.
I think my voice is done, but we ended up, we didn't talk a lot. We didn't do a lot of technical deep dive stuff today because it just felt like a week where the podcast industry, we were just like observing the podcast industrial complex.
Needed some discussion.
Slow motion meltdown.
They did need a little bit of a discussion.
Yeah.
Not that we wish anybody ill will at all.
Oh, no, I hate it. I hate this when people that we know and love, like Nathan, lose their gig. I mean, it sucks.
Well, not just that. I don't like predicting the demise of a business model that many people have grown accustomed to and that people have based their careers on. I mean, just go and look at LinkedIn, how many podcast consultants there are. That's a funny. Tina, did I tell you this? That when Tina and I started doing Curing the Keeper, she put a podcast professional on her LinkedIn profile as a joke. And she gets hit up by...
Does she get dinged all the time by people?
She gets hit up by, by podcast consultants. I can help you make money and monetize. Grow your podcast.
Is she getting less of that today than she was?
I think considerably less. Yeah. I'll ask her, actually. Yeah. That's a good question. Yeah. She thought it was kind of creepy.
But that's all, you know, the good thing about this is that the companies with great business models that just sell a good product for a good price and provide value to their customers, they have nothing to worry about. They're going to be around.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, those guys are going to remain strong, and there's plenty of those inside the podcasting ecosystem. It's the Silicon Valley creepers that come in and those guys, for a good reason, they're not going to last.
Ah, I used to be a Silicon Valley creeper. I got out. I got out just in time. I made
it. You did. It split your soul into the sixth piece.
It was very close. It was very close. I left my own company for it. It's like, oh, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. And that was 2009. I think.
Oh, has it been that long? Wow, that has been a long time.
Yeah. Not as long as Comic Strip Blogger's been a part of my life. Apparently, he was sending in bits to Daily Source Code in, I think, 2006.
Good grief.
And I love that Christopher Eisen found that old piece of content.
Oh, that was... I put them both in the clips.
What here. Both? What do we have both?
Both of the things that podcast default welcome and
but I don't see default. Oh, what is this? Hold on, what is? Should I play this?
Yeah, play it.
Hi, I'm Adam Curry. Welcome to the iPod platform. Hearing this message.
Hi, I'm a douchebag. Hi, I'm Adam Curry. You'll find me in a satchel of Richards.
Hi, I'm Adam Curry. Welcome to the iPod platform.
This is great.
Hearing this message means you have successfully installed iPodder on your computer, and you should see a new playlist on your MP3 player titled iPodder Test Channel containing this file.
I love the room.
You now can add any URL that points to an RSS feed with enclosures to automatically receive new podcasts by subscription. You can use iPodder.org as your guide to new software, news, and pointers to new podcast directories and services. We really hope you enjoy receiving and creating your podcasts. And please remember, this stuff's supposed to be fun. So enjoy.
Oh, it was me who said this. But this stuff was. Yeah. I didn't even realize that was me.
You didn't recognize your own voice.
I did not. No, I did not. I thought. I didn't. Oh, wow.
Hit the ISO again.
I was going to use it for the end of the show.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What's that's interesting
WGBH
because
WGBH podcast.
This is like like history repeats itself. So iPodder was that the Welcome to iPodder? Is what I said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was the first app. I didn't build it. I think that was someone else built that app, and maybe it was, maybe iPodder was the first Apple script that I did. I can't remember, but I made those for different apps and said, oh, yeah. So that would be like a default when you install the software, that would be a default welcome message.
Yeah. Like a pre-built OPML, whatever, you know,
exactly.
Like you download that. Yeah,
exactly. Now this, cause I heard this is Christopher Eisen found this fan, and I saw a whole bunch of other historical stuff pop up from 2005. This was, it says WGBH, but it says KQED in San Francisco, in the ID3 tags, but it's both NPR. It was NPR and WGBH. Tony Khan, he really paid a lot of attention to podcasting. I think he was the first one to put NPR programming on the podcasting. An unsung hero, I might add. Let's listen to a little bit of this.
But not many people have put that much music into their players. That means just about everyone's got room for something else.
Interesting how that was, you know, people are using iPods for music, and we were trying to get podcasting in it. Now people are using podcasts, and we're trying to get music in it.
Yes,
upside down world, baby. It's crazy. Yes.
And more and more iPod owners are filling the space with audio content created by an unpredictable assortment of producers. It's called podcasting, and its strongest proponent is former MTV host Adam Curry.
This must be real audio, I think, that we're listening to.
This is like 8-bit rate.
The world's technology correspondent, Clark Boyd, reports from Guildford, England.
Guildford.
Adam Curry has only two things on his mind these days.
Chicks and cheese.
And they're not the top two spots in the MTV Top 20 video countdown.
Oh, not the Top 20 video countdown, thank you.
Down. No, instead, Curry's obsessed with coffee and high-speed internet connections.
I'm over-caffeinated and underserved on bandwidth.
Curry's mad as hell, but in a friendly way. He's just moved his wife, two kids, and assorted...
Two kids? I have two kids?
You have two kids.
I have two kids.
Pets from their castle.
I've only had one kid, but okay. If you're out there and you're my kid, send me a boost.
Yes, castle. In Belgium, to a cottage in Guildford, about 30 miles from London. Since the move, he's been trying to get a high-speed internet connection at home.
Oh, that's hilarious. I'll put that in the show notes.
That's funny. If please, my other child, send me a boostagram.
Boostagram so I know that you're alive and doing well. Oh, man. Dave, I hope you feel better, brother.
I do.
It really sucks. And yeah, there you go. I put an accent on it, will you? Oh, I'm so sick. Oh, have a healthy, better weekend, Dave.
I appreciate it. I'm going to kick it. I'm going to get over it.
Of course you will. And thank you all very much there in the chat room for checking us out while we've been lit. And Stephen B., yes, I may be your daddy. We'll see you next week right here on Podcasting 2.0, the board meeting. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Podcasts are cool.
Go podcasting!
This stuff's supposed to be fun.